It's a little after 12 noon, and this is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show today, we've got two portions. First part, we're going to be talking with Karen Vaccaro, who is the one woman in a one-woman show called And I Remember. And we actually had her and the director on the show with us, not sure if it was earlier this year or last year, and they're doing a revised version of the production at the Independent Media Center this weekend in downtown Urbana. And we'll be talking about that next and also hearing a couple of scenes from that. The later portion of the program is a conversation with Robert Mangialardi, who is producer and director of the Prairie Fire Theater's production called I'll Be Seeing You. And that will be in Normal this weekend and next with lots of great songs, a kind of musical review from the 1940s, of tunes from the 1940s. Hope you'll stay with us on Live and Local. And that was, of course, Moonlight Serenade with the Glenn Miller Orchestra here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's among the tunes that you can hear on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday this weekend, or the same days next weekend in Normal, Illinois, part of Prairie Fire Theater's production called I'll Be Seeing You, with some great songs from the 1940s. We'll be hearing more about that on the second half of Live and Local today here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. But the first half is a conversation and a couple of scenes from a one-woman show called And I Remember with Karen Vaccaro. And that's going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in Urbana at in the old post office building at 8 o'clock Friday. And help me run down the other performances.
8 o'clock on Saturday and 7 o'clock on Sunday.
And 7 o'clock on Sunday. I'm sort of scrambling to find my, through all the other kinds of events going on this weekend, and find the right one. So Karen is with us, and also director of the show, Robert Quinlan. And you guys were here, I was trying to remember, was it a year ago? Was it earlier this
year? It was in April.
Year? It was
earlier
just this
year.
April.
Mm-hmm.
I've already lost track of so many things that go on. And you performed also at the Independent Media Center. That was a couple different locations.
No, we performed at several Urbana businesses. We were at V. Picasso and the Heartland Gallery
and
Silver Creek Restaurant. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of a revision to the show.
Yes, we have continued to work on the script, and some of the music is new.
A lot of new music, 9 more songs.
Well, let's assume nobody listened to that earlier interview.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to assume that many people listen to that interview. And also to remind me, give us the background for the show, And I Remember.
Well, about a year ago, we received a grant from Urbana Arts Commission, and we interviewed seniors in the Urbana area, and after getting 15 hours of interviews, we edited it down, and then ended up focusing on 3 women and created the show.
And then we performed it as part of the grant. All 3 of the women came to see the show, which was a really remarkable experience for us. And we've gotten to know them much better since that. And they've gotten to know each other. And then we went back into rehearsal and have streamlined and revised the play. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, we also have a filmmaker in town who is creating a documentary about the women who are featured in the play and Karen performing them.
We have more music. We've added 9 more jazz songs, and we have a great local jazz piano player, Gordy Wilson.
Oh, he's going to participate. Did he participate last time?
No. Uh-uh.
You just played recordings.
No, that
was Kent Conrad.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Played with us before, but he's out of town this summer.
See, so. That was all way back in April. I can't remember all these
and I should say that Karen plays all three women.
Right.
It was a one-woman show, and she sings.
Well, and these are their words, the words of the women verbatim. These are their words verbatim that we are...
From the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And remind us also, who were the women?
Well, we focused on three women, Dorothy, Mary Agnes, and Char. Part of what binds them together is their history as artists. Dorothy was an actress. Char, a visual artist, and later in life came to poetry. And Mary Agnes is a piano player. Those are the three women.
What were their reactions to the show? Because I think when we talked before, you hadn't done the show yet.
Right.
So they wouldn't have seen it yet.
Oh, they were thrilled.
Well, I have to say, I was nervous to have them come. They all came to the same show, and I just wasn't sure what they would
I wasn't
make of
either
it.
Because I, in a way, I do impersonate, you know, their person,
yeah.
personage, so.
They did not sit together. They had not met until that show.
That's right.
We could hear them respond when their stories would come up, and we had told them that they would be characters in the play, so they knew to expect that, but I don't think they knew to the degree. They have described it, or Char described it as kind of an out-of-body experience to see herself up there. But they really responded so positively to it and have gotten to know each other mm-hmm. since then.
And did they see themselves? I mean, did they take issue with your performance in any way?
No. I remember watching the performance and seeing Char at the end smiling. And when I would say things, she would smile and nod her head like, mm-hmm, that's right. I mean, it was very moving. It's a very rich experience anyway to interview them. But
and I think the show has evolved in a way because of their support of it. You know, I think at least from the perspective of Karen's performance, she really had their characters down. But I feel like now, since she and I have gotten to know them better, it's really she captures much more of their spirit.
Karen, I'm looking at your bio here in the press release mm-hmm. you sent out. You've been acting for 30 years, lots of different places, stage, film, television, on and off Broadway, especially in Chicago theater, mm-hmm. number mm-hmm. of Joseph Jefferson Awards, and done some directing as well at the university mm-hmm. and also at the Station Theater. How did you get involved in this project?
Well, I wrote the grant to Urbana Arts Commission and Bob
so
and
this
I,
was your brainchild, essentially.
It was Bob and I. Okay. It was a total collaboration.
Karen, you'd been wanting to put together a one-woman show for a long time.
I had, yes.
And I've known Karen for several years, and I've always loved her acting, so I'd been looking for an opportunity to work with her on something. Something else, actually. Mm-hmm. We'd done one show together. So together we sat down and thought about ways theater might interact with the community in a way that would serve both the people who live here and the businesses of Urbana.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we came up with it. And it's really been
we had no idea what to expect. It's been a much richer experience than we anticipated.
And the process of working together has been really amazing. Kind of an out-of-body experience. It's
for the two of you.
Yes. I mean, I'll say a sentence and he'll finish it or he'll say it and I've thought it already. And the way the script came together when we were editing it was just very in the moment.
Well, we've spent a lot of time on the script, maybe more than we would in a normal theater process, because we conducted the interviews and then transcribed the interviews and then edited the interviews into a show and since then have rehearsed it. So we're pretty intimately involved with the material and also, you know, becoming mm-hmm. friends with the mm-hmm. characters in real life, which is another kind of level to it.
Was there anything in your own backgrounds with family members that sort of led to this concept?
Yeah, well, my grandmother, my grandparents, all my grandparents were immigrants, and my grandmother was always telling me stories about when she was a little girl in Sicily and came to this country, and she was always saying, "Oh, you should write a book about my life. Karen, go get a piece of paper, write this down." And I never did that. I never recorded her interviews, and that was lost. And so I knew I wanted to interview women with more life experience or people with more life experience than I had, because I know the stories were going to be rich and it's important.
Have you thought about, I mean, do you think you could pull together enough of what you remember of your mom?
Oh, yes.
To do a
my
show?
Grandmother,
grandmother,
my mother,
sorry.
My entire family. Yes, there's a there's a three-act play, a trilogy. I don't know.
You might need to wait till they're everybody's gone, so nobody is.
Well, they are, so there's no problem.
Oh, they
there.
Are all.
But
well,
yeah.
Well, then it's about time. As soon as you finish this one up, get to do your own show about
maybe.
Your own family.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Why not? I mean, I just like that little tiny snippet you did right there. Well, I know you brought some scenes that I think we didn't hear last time.
That's right.
And where shall we start?
Well, why don't we start with Dorothy?
Okay. Karen! Karen! Press play! You know that song? Oh, yeah. Sentimental Journey. Oh, it's a beautiful song. I remember I met this kid once when I was 15. Just crazy about him. Lee Austin. It's about 1939, a roller rink. Morrison, Illinois. And I saw him out in the middle and I thought, oh my God, he's a doll. I thought about him for years though. It's funny how that works. Oh, and all the girls, I envied all the girls who married their sweethearts who came home from the war. They'd get on a train and go where their husbands were. And oh, I envied all the girls. That's why Sentimental Journey always got to me, because that's what I wanted, to marry my sweetheart who came home from the war. But I think it was meant to be, because later on I met my husband, who's a real neat guy. And like I said, I'm hard to live with. So, Karen, you can press stop. Just stop it. But I think it all worked out for the best. But you couldn't have told me that at the time.
So when you stopped it, you didn't stop it. I mean, it's sort of implied right there that you didn't quite stop the recording. Or
well,
did you?
In the context of the show, there is music underscoring. The idea is that Dorothy, and we provide this context in the show, Dorothy had a tape recorder and she played all kinds of music on it during the interview. So when she says press,
songs that she
when
likes
she says Karen,
oh, so
when
it
she
wasn't
says
uh-huh.
Karen
recording at that moment.
Yeah, when she says Karen press play, Karen in the interview and actually pressed play and played Sentimental Journey.
While during your own conversation.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And was that her idea? Was that your idea?
No, she asked me to turn the.
To just,
she brought the music and wanted to play these songs. And as she played the songs, memories came up for her.
Wow!
All three of the women really came with letters and photographs and music.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Agnes played her own music on the piano as she talked to us
no
too,
kidding.
Which was really a delight.
And that wasn't something you fed to them as ideas? They just came?
No.
No.
None of it. In fact, we had questions planned for all three of these interviews that we threw out the window. Because
we sometimes start with one, maybe, but we really didn't need to because they were open books. They were very generous
mm-hmm.
and forthcoming.
So it's funny that she was talking about this, you know, this guy who was a real sweetheart, but then, you know, her husband's, well, he's a neat guy, but not a sweetheart. That's what it sort of sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
Did she talk more about her husband?
Yeah, she was very in love with her husband.
Yes, she was.
And I think it's interesting that she's still in touch with that little bit of what if around this guy, mm-hmm. Lee Austin, that's something that's so wonderful about her is that she is...
she's alive,
mm-hmm.
and it's alive inside of her still. She's very much alive.
I was just thinking, as you reminded me, that there was... I'd forgotten so many things, that there was music involved in this
mm-hmm.
show,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, rats, we should have tried to bring a keyboard in and have
right.
Gordy play.
Well, you'll just have to come and see the
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Well, I and everybody else who's listening, so what's the context of the songs? How does the sequence work?
It's music from the 30s and the 40s and some from the 50s. Char talks about growing up in the Snuggle Inn which was this all-night bar in Hegwisch, and that kind of inspired some of the music. And really great artists from the time, like Benny Goodman and Gene Krupa and Dean Martin and Jimmy Durante and Rosemary Clooney. So that kind of inspired some.
We try to create a kind of jazz club feeling. Mm-hmm. But all three, music was so important to all three of them, both popular music and for Mary Agnes classical music. Mm-hmm. So it's very important in their lives.
So this is a doubly nice coincidence that this interview is preceding this.
We were just thinking that. We were looking at each other earlier.
I know.
Earlier
it's like,
the 40s.
Oh, yeah. The theme.
I mean, that just kind of worked out because I had a hole on the show. Could you do a song for us unaccompanied?
Gosh, sure.
Nature Boy?
Okay. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. He was a child with saddened eyes, but very wise indeed. And then one day, one special day, he came my way. We sat and talked of many things, fools and kings. This he said to me. He said, "The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and to be loved in return."
That's beautiful. A tricky song to sing without a piano underneath, okay. I imagine.
It's sort of a minimalist little song, so it works well without a...
Well, I was just thinking because all the little, semi-blue notes that are in here.
Yes.
It's been so long since I've heard that song. In fact, initially I thought I'd never heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
Who were some folks that have sung
I remember that... the piano player.
Wasn't that song in Moulin Rouge?
I know, too? They used it in Moulin Rouge, but it really wasn't.
That's like, a contemporary.
Nat King Cole.
Oh, Nat King Cole.
Yeah, I remember Nat King Cole did it. But it's a...
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song, famous standard from the time.
Well, definitely. Let's hear another excerpt from one of our remaining two characters.
Who's sure, nice. Why don't we go to Mary Agnes, who is the piano player.
"My husband was the first in line. They listened to his heart and said, 'Young man, step into that line over to the right.' Just listened to his heart and knew he had a heart condition and could not go to war. He said, 'I want to go. There's a wonderful plant out in Washington, state of Washington, Hanford, Washington. That's where they made the atomic bomb, that's for a start.' So he went to Hanford, Washington, left me with two babies, children. The company newspaper said, 'Do not speculate amongst yourselves what we are doing. Just do the job you were asked to do.' Oh, but they knew it was some sort of ammunition."
Do you have it sounds like you do, but do you consider that you have a particular gift for voices and imitation?
I don't know. I
think so.
Because I'm just, I haven't met these women, but I'm just assuming that these are dead ringers for what they sound like.
Well,
it's pretty close.
I've
been looking at, we've been spending some time with them, and they've been doing interviews for this film, too, so I've been seeing them on film, and it's pretty remarkable. Not just the voice, but the
spirit.
Spirit and the, you know, kind of their souls that Karen is able to capture. She has a wonderful honesty on stage that I think is very rare.
Well, and what, of course, listeners can't see uh-huh. on the radio is that your body changes, your body inflections change with each of these women. I remember that from the last time you were here, too.
Mm-hmm. They kind of feel like they're a part of me.
And Karen does a wonderful job of using the audience, too. And I think that's difficult in a one-person play because you don't have another actor to play off of.
Right.
So she really allows the audience to be the other actor. In a way, the audience is...
The other character in the play.
The other character mm-hmm. in the play and is Karen doing the interview. So I think she really brings it to life with the audience.
Well, I was going to ask that, actually, whether you include any of the questions in the show. Or only the answers, essentially, from...
Oh, like I said, there weren't a lot of questions.
There really
I mean, we on, ended yeah. up just like, just, you know, it interviewed itself, pretty much.
I think there's one time when someone says, oh, feminism, and it kind of refers back to something that we asked about feminism. But there's really, with these three interviews, we did not have to ask questions.
Just
we,
no. push go and let them run.
Right, and they were really forthcoming. They came with a lot. To the interview.
We should probably remind listeners, since I haven't a little bit, what we're even talking about, and that is a production called And I Remember, starring Karen Vaccaro as the one player, but representing three different characters. It's going to be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana this weekend, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday is at 7 o'clock, and the Independent Media Center is in the old post office building right next to Lincoln
Square.
And
I'd like to add, you can also get advanced tickets at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. It's $10 cash only.
It's 112 West Main Street, and they're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Today, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, they have slightly uneven hours. And for more information, is this their number, your number?
That's our information number.
It's okay. An information number.
Yeah.
217-954-0231. And we're also talking with the director of the show, Robert Quinlan, who recently directed Killer Joe.
I did.
U of I. That was just last season, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was this past spring. So that was a very different play than this.
Yeah. Well, I think we were going to try to get an interview on this show, and somehow things didn't work out. I don't remember.
Yeah.
How that went, but lots of things going on, yes. That's for sure.
And I will be back at the directing at the Krannert Center this fall, a wonderful play by Ellen McLaughlin called Iphigenia and Other Daughters, and that'll be in the fall.
And that's
for the theater department.
For the U of I theater
yeah.
department. Okay. And we have one character left to represent.
Mm-hmm.
One person.
Yes, that's Char.
And this is Char, who is a poet and visual artist and also worked with in mental health. She had a career as a mental health professional for many years. And this is her talking about growing up in Catholic school.
So, when I was in sixth grade, I had to be the kindergarten room monitor for the kids in kindergarten. And so it was near Easter, and there were like these statuettes of Mary and Joseph and everybody. And the kindergarten kids, there's like 12 of them and just me, one sixth grader, trying to be the room monitor. So these kids are running through the aisles. I'm saying, please sit down. Well, who are they going to listen to? Sister in the gown, you know, or me? So there's Mother Mary on Sister's desk. The kids get real close to Sister's desk. They hit the desk. In slow motion, I see Mother Mary going down and dying, and my body, I left my body. And Sister got a hold of me. She took me out of my class, my sixth grade class. She marched me up in front of that kindergarten class, stood me up in front of them, and began to slap me from one end of the front of the class to the other. And the kindergarten kids had to stand there and watch. Yeah, they slapped me because I killed the Virgin Mary. I wet my pants.
I would think you would. Catholic school must have inspired, I don't know, more kinds right. of movies and plays and comedies than any
art.
Other kind of school. Art, that's right.
Well, and it's interesting. It's a deep relationship she has with Catholicism. I mean, she's still...
It's still a big part of...
Very religious, and she credits the Catholic Church with, a lot of wonderful things in her life. So mm-hmm. it's...
The nuns were a very big part of her mm-hmm. life.
In more ways than one.
Yes, right. And in a real positive, supportive way.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that mm-hmm. way that you just described.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about, about mm-hmm. this show is that you kind of think you know who these women are, and then as it unfolds, you find that you're surprised both by what happens to them, what they disclose, and by what they think about the world based on those experiences. So I find it very surprising and... It definitely makes one question stereotypes.
Yes, and the way you look at everyone, and especially those with more life experience than you.
So these were women in their 70s, 80s?
60s, 80s, and 90s.
60s, 80s, and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you present one at a time, or do you intersperse?
No, it cuts back between the women mm-hmm. fairly often. We divided it up really more by, I guess...
Sort of
thematically,
in a way.
And also in a way to try to create some suspense about what happens with each of them.
Mm-hmm. So you're obviously not going to don a different costume with each person.
Nope. No costumes.
Just
no
Karen.
Props. No props.
Karen and a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Voice and body, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then some music in between.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great show, and just to remind everybody, it's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 7, the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana, and it's called And I Remember with Karen Vaccaro, directed by Robert Quinlan, and it's great to have you guys back on the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, Kevin. Appreciate it.
I hope we help to get some more folks out to see it.
Yes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Area 217-954-0231 for more information. And we've got some great songs from the 40s coming up next, part of a production from Prairie Fire Theater in Normal called I'll Be Seeing You on Live and Local. John Pizzarelli and the King Singers with the Boston Pops, led by Keith Lockhart. Chattanooga Choo Choo on Live and Local. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Robert Mangiolardi. He is actually in three roles on a performance that's coming up this weekend called I'll Be Seeing You. It's a production, The Best of Lloyd Farley's Salute to the 40s, put on by Prairie Fire Theater in Normal at the First Presbyterian Church. And it's on this weekend and next, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And Bob is doing one of the characters in the show, and also serves as director and producer. His character is called Bobby Mingle. And I noticed that Mindy Mangiolardi, would that be a wife, a daughter?
That's a wife.
As Mandy Mingle.
Say that three times fast.
Mindy Mangiolardi is Mandy Mingle. That's once is enough there. Well, tell me about I'll Be Seeing You.
Okay. Well, it's a kind of a tipping our hat backwards a little bit to a production, actually a trio of productions that we'd done six, seven, 8 years ago. We just thought we would just see if there was any kind of an audience for the music of the 30s and 40s, which had been a period that I had always loved. And then in collaboration with one of my old college professors, kind of mentors, who was a pianist and an arranger. And so he also was member of a small little jazz band that had toured for the soldiers during World War II. So he's actually was a gentleman that was in his late 70s when we did this. And two of us just love this music, and we said, you know, I wonder if anybody would like this. So we just thought, let's just take a chance, and let's just put a bunch of songs together. He did all the arrangements, and he knew a lot of these songs that I didn't even know. And much to our surprise and delight, it was a huge success. And so we actually did three of them. We did another one called I'll Be Seeing You Again, and then we did kind of a third one, which was just a little bit later, 40s, maybe slightly into the 50s, called With a Song in My Heart, quoting a famous operetta piece from that time. So, but it's kind of the same idea. And the first two were in the confines of kind of a USO tour, and the third one was more of a kind of like a radio show that you might have seen. So, obviously 6 or 7 years has passed, and we just thought, well, those were a hit then. Why don't we just, do this again? And so that's kind of where the idea came, and we've slightly updated it. We're not doing it as a USO show, per se. We're kind of doing it as a group in 2010, and they're just thinking, well, wouldn't it be fun to do that kind of music? And so the first half is a rehearsal of the ultimate show, and the second half actually is kind of like the show with spotlights and very glamorous dresses. But it's not an attempt to do it back as a USO tour again. And so just we've got some new tunes that we didn't do the first time around, and there's a little bit of dialogue that kind of connects it together, and some really fine singers and a six-piece band. It's really quite good, if I say so myself, and there you have it.
And the various characters you just dreamed up?
Right. It was just, we have a lady named Nancy Brokaw we just thought it would be fun to put a little bit of humor in there, and so she kind of just watched rehearsals, and so some of the things that she says come out of the personalities that she thought were, you know, in the people. So I'm a producer, you know, and I'm the director, so that's kind of what I play in this. My wife is one of the members, and she's always saying, "Oh my gosh, we have another performance, and when are we going to, you know, actually take a vacation and not be performing?" So, you know, which is kind of right out of our lives. So she just really watched everybody, and she thought, "Well, this girl seems like she has a crush on this guy in the cast," and so she just kind of worked that all into the show. And it's very small. The dialogue is brief, and it's mostly in the first act before the show starts. But it's just a way to kind of, you know, give it a little more continuity and give maybe a little bit of humor too.
And what's special about Lloyd Farley's arrangements?
It's hard to put your finger on it. He just was he had been a men's glee club. I don't know if you remember that term.
Sure, we still have one at the University of Illinois.
You call it the Glee Club?
The Men's Glee Club, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, and of course, the TV show on it that's called Glee is kind of the same idea. And, 35 years ago, I was one of his students, and he had this group for about, I don't know, 20 years. And through those 20 years, he just really, he would write arrangements for the guys. And so through those 20 years, he just developed a real specialty and knack for what sounds good in voices and what pieces are really interesting to put into a show. And so he just kind of taught himself, but it was just a skill that he developed in that capacity as a director of this glee club. And so he just, how do you describe what makes it good? It's just, he just has a knack for what sounds good in voices.
And he is gone now, right?
Yes, he died. He passed away, I think, 3 years ago.
Was he able to see the shows that you did before?
He played in the shows.
Oh, did he really?
He was in his late 70s, and there he was flailing away on the keyboard and conducting the singers and the little band that we had then. And so now I have a friend named Steve McClary, another old college friend that is a music director at in the Arthur School System. And he's the music director and has done some arranging, and it's been a little bit of a detective story because he's had to kind of find these handwritten arrangements that Lloyd just kind of played and knew how to read, and he's rewritten them and, you know, put them on Finale and cleaned them up, and so he's been doing some research himself on this. So,
Well, I know you said you sent me the whole song list, and there's quite a nice mix of things here. I pulled some stuff that I had in my own collection. As it happens, I pulled a bunch of ballads, but you've got a lot of up-tempo things as well.
Right. A lot of up-tempo things, too.
One of the ones we agreed to, that we both liked, is Cole Porter's You'll Be So Nice to Come Home To. Now, these aren't Lloyd Farley's arrangements. These are just things that I had in my collection. And but give people an idea of the songs.
Sure.
We have this one sung here by Helen Merrill, and the character of Carly, who's it played by? I'm looking for her. Oh, Chelsea B. Coombs. Right. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did.
Is she a young person?
She's going off to Uvalde next year.
Oh, really?
Won't not be a music major, although I'm sure she'll sing there. Just one of those natural, sweet voices that you just say, wow. All the girls, actually, the girls just have, all five of the girls just have incredibly beautiful voices. And Chelsea's one of those singers that just, I don't think she knows how good she is. She just sings really naturally well. And that's kind of what you want in that song. It's a real sweet innocence.
And let's see what Helen Merrill does with it. It's Cole Porter's You'll Be So Nice to Come Home To, one of the many songs that is in the production called I'll Be Seeing You by Prairie Fire Theater this weekend and next in Normal. This is Live and Local.
You'd be so nice to come home.
That was Cole Porter's You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, Helen Merrill singing with quite a nice band behind her. I won't go through all the names of the performers, but there's also quite a nice band backing up the various singers in Prairie Fire Theater's production called I'll Be Seeing You, the best of Lloyd Farley's Salute to the 40s. This weekend, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and then the following weekend, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, Friday and Saturday shows are at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 3 o'clock, and the venue is First Presbyterian Church of Normal on East College Avenue. And my guest on this portion of Live and Local is the producer and director of the show, and also playing the character of Bobby Mingle, Robert Mangiolardi. And what a bunch of nice songs you've got on here. How did you just choose... Well, obviously, you said Lloyd Farley had a ton of these arrangements. How did you narrow things down?
Yeah, well, it wasn't easy because we had these three shows that we could pick, some of the ones that we thought were the most successful and interesting. It was really kind of a bit of a three-way process. This new music director, Steve, listened to the recordings of the things that we had done. And then, of course, there were ones that I thought were just, we have to do these. These are just really great standards, as well as a few gems that people don't know. There's a piece called The Joint Is Really Jumping down in Carnegie Hall, which is a piece that we had done in one of the earlier shows. But, no one knows that tune. It's an old Judy Garland song that she had done on MGM Parade or something. But, just a real gem that nobody knows. And this girl, Kristen Soussan, just sings the pants off of it. She sings the thing, it's just like, you can't believe that you can sing it. So, and then Steve came up with some things, some arrangements, since he's a choral person and has done a lot of kind of swing choir stuff, which tends to be a little often on the jazzy side. He came up with a few new things, like Zing Went the Strings of My Heart, which is a great little tune.
Isn't that from Meet Me at St. Louis?
Yeah, it could be. No, I think that's Zing, or I don't think that's it's from that. I think that's. I don't know what that. I don't remember what it's from, but I don't think it's from that. But it could be. I can't remember. But that's something. So he came up with a few things that had been very successful in his work that totally fit into this concept. And then of course we just had all the Lloyd shows to pick from. So that's kind of how we came up with it.
You said Kristen Sue's song sings the Joint Is Really Jumpin'. She plays the character of Miss Christie. And you have Mr. Fingers.
Right, that's
any particular
Right.
inspiration?
He doesn't get many lines, but that's the compass. A very, very fine jazz pianist.
Oh, the pianist.
Again, these are sketches. There's really
Sure.
not a whole lot of dialogue. It's just something to kind of, you know, infuse a little humor at times.
And, well, I just like some of the names. There's Wick and Miss Christie and Skibo. Oh, I see there are plays on the people's names.
Exactly.
Oh, right. How did I miss that?
but I think the clever thing was that Nancy came to rehearsals three or four nights and just kind of watched everybody. And then she knew several of us. And then she just either drew on what was going on in our real lives, like I said, with my wife going, "Oh my God, my husband's doing another show. We never get to go anywhere." And then just things that she thought naturally were kind of happening with the cast. And then I thought that was really clever. What a good way to kind of tie into give her a way to be creative, but at the same time, really based on reality. So it's kind of real. Whether the audience really catches that this is kind of part of their real lives, I'm not sure, but it just gave her a starting point that was interesting.
So if your wife is saying, "Oh, Bob's in another show," is she often in your shows, or is this just an excuse to say, "Well, fine, why don't you be in this one with me?"
Well, she's a great singer. You know, a lot of there's, as you probably know, and even in probably happens in Champagne. You know, there's a lot of great singers who, you know, they just have to make a living or they're whatever. So in our family dynamic, it's always she's worked full time, and then she kind of keeps a little more track of the kids and that whole thing, and then I've been doing this kind of on the side of my job. So she has occasionally been in our shows, but again, she's usually been working full time, so she hasn't been in a lot of them. I mean, this is the first one she's been in probably in 5 or 6 years. But she's been in them sporadically throughout our 12-year run.
Prairie Fire Theater isn't a product of Illinois Wesleyan University, but it's kind of connected, isn't it?
Well, we've done a lot of our shows there. We've done all of our, you know, last year we did Gondoliers, and we were on your program last year, and we use their space, but it's not technically affiliated with the school. It's a separate entity, although I use a lot of Illinois Wesleyan students, and when we do operettas or operas, we tend to use a lot of U of I students too.
And you're on staff at Wesleyan,
right? I'm the director of the opera department there, and also one of the voice teachers.
You did a children's opera earlier this summer. How did that go?
Oh, that's probably our most successful thing. It's the thing that we usually hit about 25 to 30 schools every year, and we haven't gotten as far as Champaign. I think we've put as far east as we've gotten is Leroy, but we go pretty far north, all the way up to Pontiac. And it's very successful. We see about 7,000 students a year. And maybe I should just quit all this other stuff and just do that, because that really serves a large audience and a very enthusiastic audience. The schools really like us to come. And it always makes a little bit of money for us, and so that's always good, too.
You do. Is it a different production every year?
Yeah. We just did Three Little Pigs last year. And the year before we did a Little Red Riding Hood type story. But it's about a 45 minute one act opera that has this kind of story. And we have a little small set that we pack up, and it's usually a cast of four or five.
We'll have to make sure to talk about it next year.
Oh, I would be thrilled to.
I missed it somehow or another on my calendar.
Well, we've got to get into the Champaign area, because we haven't done any of the schools there. And I'm willing to go as far as an hour. I don't want to travel a whole much more than that, but I think an hour would be fun.
There's a lot of schools around, a lot of places to get to.
You know, and the beautiful thing is we bring everything to the school, and then we don't really charge that much, and because we usually get some grants. And, for the schools to bring the kids to a production, let's say, at our Center for the Performing Arts, you know, they have to rent the bus, they have to get a bus driver, you know, it takes an extra hour or two on both ends for transportation, and, you know, they literally go right from the class, the bell rings, they zip into the gym, or they just zip into the cafeteria, there's a set, there are costumes, and, you know, they're hearing some some good singers sing, and so we've had really good luck with it.
Well, let's have another song from the current show, I'll Be Seeing You. This is another one that we both really like, Blues in the Night. And I love this particular arrangement, this performance. It's Louis Armstrong and Oscar Peterson. Of course, again, it's not one of Lloyd Farley's arrangements, but it's the song, and it's a fun version of it. So let's give a listen here on Live and Local.
My mama done told me when I was in knee pants, my mama done told me, son, yes, woman, sweet talk, papa, you're decent. Oh, from Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, wherever the four winds blow.
And that was Louis Armstrong and Oscar Peterson. Blues in the Night by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer. That's one of the songs, one of many, that the Prairie Fire Theater is including in its production called I'll Be Seeing You, the best of Lloyd Farley's Salute to the 40s. Six performances this coming Saturday and Sunday. I'm sorry, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then similar schedule next weekend, the 13th, 14th, and 15th at First Presbyterian Church of Normal on East College Avenue. Bob Mangiolardi has been my guest for this portion of the show. He's producer and director and also one of the several singers in the production, and there's more than several singers in the production, and a nice, looks like six-piece band. Folks must have had a blast putting this together, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they really did. And then when they heard how good the band sounded, because to be honest, the band that we had 6 or 7 years ago was really good, but this band is just really fine musicians, and yeah, I think they just really like singing it. We had a little bit of some tension because we're supposed to be at Wesleyan again, but the university got a big grant from a donor to remodel and repaint and new curtain and just totally refurbish the place we're supposed to be at. So we had to kind of unexpectedly find a new place in the church. Graciously let us in, which really works pretty well, to tell you the truth, because it's intimate. We can set tables up. That's another interesting thing about the production, is that we're doing kind of cabaret style. So there are about 25 tables of that seat 8 people. And so people can come and sit at a table, and we have refreshments and popcorn and pie and cookies, and they can just kind of relax in a little more of an intimate atmosphere. And we found that people really like that. They like to sit at a table and have a drink. And
so it's obviously not in the church part of the church.
No, it's in a huge kind
that would be
of
interesting.
All-purpose with a gigantic ceiling, and we can sit two in fairly easily there. So if you like that kind of arrangement, then I think you'll like this, especially like this.
It sounds like a great show, Bob, and I appreciate your coming on this show today and talking about it.
That is all mine.
Prairie Fire Theater, check out their website at prairiefiretheater.org, and you can see, the specific dates and also their Evening with Gilbert and Sullivan, which is coming up later on. Thanks very much, and have a great show.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. Support for our show today comes from the Champaign County Forest Preserve District, with Second Sunday music performances at Lake of the Woods Forest Preserve in Mahomet, artwork in the Early American Museum, and music in the garden at 5. August 8th features Jewelry by Mary Tangora and music by David Howie. Information is at 586-2612 or at ccfpd.org. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll be back with Maria and Company playing at the Krannert Center tomorrow evening. They'll be on our show playing live tomorrow from 12 to 1. Hope you'll join us.